Dolly Parton loves to say, "It costs a lot of money to look this cheap." Girl, don't you know it? Showgirls, pageant gals, and drag queens everywhere find the cost of being fabulous is like the rent. Too damn high.
Folks in the audience may tip a dollar, but unless there's a few fives or twenties in there, then sometimes the cost of doing drag is a money pit. Houston, Texas queen Violet Serblu details every penny she spends on drag in a blog article titled "She Works Hard for the Money," and says that getting up in geesh can cost up to $1,000.
Today, Violet Serblu joins us to talk about the price breakdown of all the goodies she uses to look like a pretty lady. What's it like to put on a drag show in Houston after Hurricane Harvey wreaked havoc? And the magic of drag shows and gay bars in small towns all over the South. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
The clock is ticking. Time is running out. We have until October 19th at 10 p.m. to fund the Kickstarter to save Cooking with Drag Queens. A magical look at the lives of extraordinary performers and food. Please pledge today at cookingwithdragqueens.com or the series is toast.
Hello, this is Violet.
Is this Violet Serblu?
She just said she was.
Well, I wanted to make sure I had the right Violet.
And not Violet from Willy Wonka?
Or Violet Tchotchke? Or...
Yeah, no, I'm definitely much fatter than Violet Tchotchke.
So your waist size is average?
Yes, I have all of my organs still.
How you doing down there in Texas, girl?
Texas is actually lovely. It's very sunny today in Houston. You know, we had some trouble with the weather recently, maybe you heard. So we're all very glad that every day that it doesn't rain.
Oh, girl. So you were looking at like sexy photos of men and you're like, I flooded my basement. And you're like, oh, no, my basement really is flooded.
Oh, no. My roommate is the one with the flooded basements. I just sort of sit at home and I'm like, oh, Grindr would be nice to have.
You're like, my dick is really hard and inside these pantyhose.
Oh, my gosh. I was hosting my brunch show yesterday and someone said something about Grindr. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm a 30-year-old crossdresser. I have the most inactive Grindr. I said, the day they get an audio feature, I'm going to be so out of luck.
Well, how was the hurricane down there for the drag? How did that affect the drag community?
So the hurricane was, I don't want to say not the worst, because it was the worst for some people. One of the big things for us was a couple of queens that I know got some water damage, sure. But the city of Houston imposed a curfew. So a lot of the drag shows didn't happen for a good 5 or 6 days. So some of us were out of work for a good week, week and a half, which was, in the scheme of things, obviously a much smaller struggle than people who lost everything that they own. But, sure. You know, different issues, different strokes for different folks.
Mm-hmm. And they had the curfew because they were afraid of, like, looting, or they just didn't have the city services?
Yes. Mm. Well, combo platter. The mayor was definitely concerned about some looting. And the big thing was, like, anybody that we see, we're not even bothered. We're going to do full extent of the law. And while I appreciate that, it was just sort of like, hey, we're in the part of town where nothing flooded and I live a mile from the bars and people can actually still go out. So can I like make money? Cause I'm in the service industry and FEMA's not going to subsidize me for being a crossdresser.
So hold on a second. You like a character from Star Booty got dressed up in your hooker boots and your nice cheater and put on some pretty makeup and went outside after the hurricane in the chaos in the aftermath, walked up to a police officer, said, a girl's got to work.
I did all of that, except I just called over the phone and just told them I was stunningly beautiful.
Oh, so they had to take your word for it.
They had to take my word for it, yeah.
And the police officer's like, well, we have to see some photos, ma'am.
I actually called the mayor's. I called the mayor's office immediately after the press conference. And I said, hi, I'm in the customer service industry. Because, you know, we don't say, you know, I'm a professional liar. We go, hi, I'm in the customer service industry. And I just saw a press conference with the mayor where he said there's now a city curfew. And the woman was like, oh, yes, that's to deter looting. But if you have a slip for work, you can be out, you know, on the roads and everything. And I was like, yeah, but if I have to have a work receipt to be out on the roads, then there won't be any customers because they're not going to work. They're just coming out. And she paused for about 5 seconds and was like, oh, sorry.
Violet, what's it like to put on a drag show in the middle of the chaos that unfolds after a hurricane? I mean, I imagine like there's puddles of water everywhere, the people coming into the bars.
Actually, the first week was not bad because so the hurricane hit around the weekend. And then for about 4 days, everybody was kind of terrified, or the people who, everybody who had yet had something happen was absolutely terrified. And everybody's stuff had already happened to was already like on the recovery mode of like, okay, I guess we're moving on, but still terrified at the same time because it wasn't over. And as soon as everything was done and the rain stopped and there was like a day to process, everybody that I knew was like, oh my God, I have to get out of the house, because we all got cabin fever. We were all locked in and water just like up to our doors so that we couldn't go outside and couldn't drive anywhere. The second that everything opened again, customers were out like, hi, I'm ready to get as drunk as possible in a 3 hour period. So the first brunch show that we had on Sunday, I think my first day back to work was Friday night. No, that's not right. I think my first day back to work was Sunday. So I went out and the bar was more full than usual. And I was like, are you guys ready to have a good time? And the one person in the back was like, I haven't had a good time since 2014. And I was like, okay, so we're all back to normal after the hurricane. True.
So there's a sign outside that says like clean water, air conditioning.
No, it just said alcohol. It just said, we have booze.
We have booze. We survived it all. You know, I grew up in Puerto Rico and we went through a lot of hurricanes. Right now, Puerto Rico is without electricity. Trump rather talk about the NBA, and he's never once mentioned Puerto Rico yet.
What was that thing yesterday? They said that, oh yeah, the thing about like, oh, we have to ban everybody. And then it was like, but that thing with the Carolina stuff, he was like, I disavow. Okay. And I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how many people like hate Trump, but, people adore a strong drag queen that can survive a hurricane. We were really attracted to you and discovered you through this, article that you wrote for Miss A Gay America pageant blog titled She Works Hard for the Money. Cause you're an entrepreneur, a people person. And you were talking and breaking down how expensive it is to look like a cheap hoe.
Basically. What's that Dolly Parton phrase?
What is it Dolly Parton says? She says it takes a lot of money.
It takes a lot of money to look this cheap.
Because you say for like one appearance pretty much costs you $650 in supplies, but your usual Friday show is over like $1,000.
Yes, those are my Friday show
estimates.
Yes, those are the round down estimates. And I'm kind of embarrassed because Andy, the publicist for America, he's lovely. He messaged me and he was like, hey, I discovered these blog series on your Tumblr, because I wrote a couple and I have a couple that are almost done and I just keep obsessively editing them. And he said, would you be okay if I shared this on the Miss Gay America blog? And I said, well, sure. And then he, you know, I proofed everything and made sure I hadn't misspelled anything too crazy. And I looked and that article was like a year and a half old, which it's still the same, mm-hmm. but I've actually used some more expensive products now. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, so the rent has gone up.
The rent might have gone up. Yes.
Well, let's break down the list of what item per item. You gave us like a list of what it takes to get into face and drag for just one show.
Uh-huh.
And you started off with Elmer's disappearing purple glue stick for the eyebrows.
$2. Oh, yeah, that's the first thing I do. Yes, $2. Well, I probably should have started off like, first you have to buy razors and shaving cream. Then you have to have a water bill. So, like, so there's glue, and then you powder the glue. And then once you go, okay, I guess that's as good as they're getting covered.
And just to let people know, when you wrote that, it was $2. Now they retail for $2.88. Mm. But you can get them on sale at Target for $1.
And usually it's like you get two sticks.
Two sticks for $1, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes. I buy the 3-pack at the Office Max because, you know, you got to be bargain hunting these days.
Mm. And you much prefer that over, like, because some people do, like, spirit glue and latex and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've always had the most luck with this. When I first, I won't say when I first started drag, but I went to art school, and you know, there's a lot of occasions to dress up in a bunch of nonsense when you're in art college. But I think the first time I tried to cover my brows, I used spirit gum, and it wasn't the worst experience of my life, but it definitely was not something with a huge level of success. Mm. So a couple of rounds of the glue, and I was like, this works great, and no muss, no fuss.
So just to do the face, you think it's just like for your eyebrows and the eye color and all that kind of stuff is pretty much just like $50.
Yeah. I'm double checking. I'm like, wait, what did I say the things were?
But see, this is the thing that I wanted to draw attention to. You're saying that it's $9 for Ben 9 Clown White Paste, not the cream to cover your mustache area. But you get more than one use for that. I mean, it's not like $9 every single time.
No, yes. Actually, when the article was showed by World of Wonder, they had a couple of shares from that, and one person who shared it, because I'm that person, I have to read everything online. That's why I would be so bad on Drag Race.
It'll rot your brain. They said,
okay, they shared the thing, and they were like, oh, but she, like, it doesn't cost this much every time. Like, it's not $1,000 every time she leaves the house. And I was like, well, no, but I did actually break down how often I have to replace my supplies, and it does cost me $23 every time I leave the house. So that tends to be the break even point.
That sounds more reasonable. That actually sounds more.
But that's accurate, just for the face.
But what a lot of people are saying, this is the cost of entry. This is the cost to get into drag. And if you're not dressing up in drag very often, then this is something that can really get expensive.
Yes, the $23 is like how often like I need to replace something like a wig, or how often shoes wear out, or I have to replace makeup, or I run my pantyhose because I am trademark clumsy. I can literally just be walking through the bar and I'll just feel myself catch on a piece of like cold air, and then there's just a run in the new pantyhose. And I'm like, really? It's never the ones that have already started wearing out. It's always the ones that are like fresh out of the bag. They don't even have a footprint from that one slightly dirty spot in the back room you accidentally stepped in that one time. No, it has to be the fresh pair that's still really tight on your ankles. And then you walk by somebody who just has a pointed attitude and they just rip a hole in the back of your thigh. And you're like, really? So,
what do you think about like drag queens who brag about them being dumpster divers and, you know, recycling items that they found in the garbage can? I mean, certainly like there's some drag queens on Instagram who, you know, they're sort of painted from the waist up. And one draws attention to me is Jamie Oswin from Glasgow. And she basically like glues a lot of stuff onto her face, mostly gemstones. And those gemstones look expensive, but I could easily see like somebody from this last season of Drag Race, the queen from Atlanta who painted all the paper mache onto her face.
Nina Bonina Brown.
Nina Bonina Osama Bin Laden. Banana Fofana Brown.
Charles.
You know, some of them just find like objects that are just in their community in their garbage cans, and they actually work it into their drag.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. I think that as long as you sanitize first, because you know, health is a thing. I think there's nothing wrong with finding absolutely anything and everything. One of my trademarks is like putting nonsense on my head. So I have everything from like 3-foot sunflowers to I have a pair of actual deer antlers that I rhinestoned. I have I have everything. I love it. I love wearing stuff on my head. I sort of always had this thing of like, well, you know, a look has an ornament on your head. So I had like a flower or two, and then at some point I just sort of sat back and I was like, wow, I have a giant styrofoam chili pepper. Things have taken a terrible turn. So
Mark and I found this blowfish in the alley. It's like the world's perfect fascinator. Mm-hmm. And we're just like waiting for a drag show for us to wear it in.
I think I'm going to like paint it pink or something.
It needs
that,
to be painted pink.
It's kind of like, you know, it's those fish that kind of blow up and they have spikes coming everywhere.
It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. It's like one of those Mexican dried frogs that you can buy at the flea market that plays the guitar or the flute or something like that in position.
I've not seen those.
They're really terrifying. And it's the same idea as like this desiccated animal. I'm like, some drag queen should go to like a flea market and just buy the most disturbing shit and make drag with that.
I feel like that's Lady Bunny's secret. I'm kidding.
Well, Lady Bunny's secret is that she doesn't tuck and she doesn't do much.
She doesn't contour.
She doesn't contour. It's all just a shower curtain with a hole cut in the middle and her
and a big wig
and the big pig.
It's not made by Perfidia.
Perfidia doesn't make my wigs. I don't know why you keep saying that, Fausto.
Now, one of your cheap tricks that you like to use is that you actually go to the dollar store and buy some stuff.
I love the dollar store. When they have the RuPaul edition, I didn't actually look at the slip this year because I was competing from Miss Texas. But when they have the audition for the show, they always have the challenges broken down. And they're like, and then show us what you can make out of a dollar. Go to the dollar store. And I'm just like, oh, I can skip this whole section. I've already done this. Mm. So I literally, like, whenever the auditions came around, because I've auditioned a couple of years, I've gotten emails about it. And I've always been like, okay, what thing do I want to show them? So I think the last thing that I did was I made a headpiece out of those, like, dollar eyeglass readers. So yeah. I had, like, a little tower of eyeglasses, and I had, like, two extras. And someone asked me, I just thought it was a cute look. And someone asked me, like, oh, what are those? Are those your reading glasses? And it wasn't like just that, but they were just being kind of snotty to me the whole show. And towards the end of the show, they were just like starting to pick apart everything. Like their drink got too warm too fast. And then there was too much ice in the drink and then other things. And they weren't liking the music that we were playing. And at the end, they were like, oh, are those your reading glasses? You need all those pairs of glasses. And I was like, well, when there's a lot of stuff to read, sometimes you need multiple sets of eyes to look. And they stop talking. So
why is the customer at the bar making you responsible for their drink? You're not even the bartender.
Well, she's the hostess.
Oh, no. But yeah, well, yes. That was when we were doing viewings of Drag Race. We had like a bingo with some giveaways back when Absolute was doing the stuff. So that was a while ago.
How is the world surviving without Jeffrey Moran is what I want to know.
And his critical critiques of drag.
People were like, oh no, Jeffrey Moran won't be critiquing drag queens anymore. I don't understand that. I think that was like the worst probably judge in RuPaul's Drag Race history. Well, they were
footing the bill, so it's like you get a seat at the table.
Why it made Absolute look like a bunch of morons because it's like they're putting this guy who doesn't know anything blabbing his mouth. And the editors, like, were trying to give him a good edit, and it was just impossible to do that.
Well, maybe they told him to be rough.
Were they trying so hard?
They were, and it's like he had no charisma. I mean, you know, so they could have hired, like, a charismatic person to represent Absolute and be their you know, whatever judge, right? It's like, you know, it could be in anybody. They could have had T.S. Madison be the spokesperson for Absolute.
She wasn't around back then.
Okay, I would like to see Jackie Beat be the spokesperson for Absolute.
Yeah, this that would be fantastic. Terrible,
but Absolute isn't. Like, that would be so great.
I'm still waiting for T.S. Madison to be a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. Season 10, they're currently filming.
It could happen.
I'm waiting for it. Oh, by the way, this is the point in the show where we want to remind folks about cooking with drag queens. A wig is a terrible thing to waste. So please feed a queen in need by going to cookingwithdragqueens.com and give us a holla by pledging a dollar or more and support our web series. Because right now it is up for grabs. We run out of space, we run out of food in the pantry, and we need a little bit of money from you hunties in order to keep the series going.
And so you can go to cookingwithdragqueens.com and pledge to our Kickstarter, and we can make the project happen. Madison Hinton already said she wants to come. Now, she's not a drag queen, but she kind of occupies some of the same space as drag queens. And she's just like, I'm coming back, and I'm cooking with you boys.
We get this fund. So you have it until October 19th. If it's all or nothing. The project will only be funded if it reaches its goal at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thursday, October 19th. Now, we have 120 backers committed with $6,000, $6,086 of $20,000 to go. So if you've been thinking about it, if you've been thinking about joining and jumping in the pool, now is the time to make your commitment. Not later. Now. So because when people see other people participating, they become more likely to jump in and say, you know what? I believe in cooking with drag queens. I want to see T.S. Madison, Mark and Fausto fry up a storm of good, delicious food up in their kitchens in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
What would you cook with us, Violet?
Oh, I don't know.
What do you like to eat?
I like to have everything. I have my birthday party at buffets.
So like a poo-poo platter?
Like old country buffet or like a Chinese buffet?
Oh, full on Chinese buffet. I literally go, my birthday requirements, because my birthday is the beginning of October, and every year I invite about 10 people, and I pick a restaurant I want to go to. Half the time it's a buffet. And I'm like, my birthday request is that I get all the food I want to eat and I don't have to pay for it. That's it. I don't have a birthday list. I'm like, come bring $3 extra to pay for my food and I'm happy.
Do you eat those mussels with cheese on them at the Chinese buffet? Those are the things that always weird me out. I'm like, they just seem like the weirdest thing.
No, they totally are. I have to be honest. Every time I go, I look at those and I'm like, I still don't get the appeal of this. So I get one and I eat it and I go, still don't like it.
I don't understand why they ever would put pizza in a Chinese food buffet, but it's always there, you know?
It's for the kids.
They're like, I don't like this.
That's the same as when you go to the like the rich brunch buffet where it's like $45 with the champagne and everyone goes right for the bread. You're like, no girl, you're gonna go to the back room, shrimp cocktail.
Do not fill up on carbs.
The pizza's a detour. That's a road trap.
Mm-hmm. One thing I really love about those Chinese food buffets is if you can get to the right one, they have these over-the-top ice cream sundae bars with what I call digital ice cream. So instead of having like a bunch of different flavors, there's a code that you press onto the machine, and like, you know, syrup in a soda machine, it shoots out syrup and mixes it with like a neutral vanilla.
That's witchcraft. Mm. I don't know how to handle that.
Well, you have to learn how to do math in order to eat the dessert.
I actually, despite the fact that I'm a professional like liar to customers, people are like, what are your hobbies? And I'm like, taking money from drunk people. I actually like math.
Is that the key?
That's the thing of like, no matter where you go in the United States, in most small towns, there's always going to be an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet. And to me, that's very comforting to know that no matter how racist, how much the Ku Klux Klan is strong in your jurisdiction, there's going to be a Chinese food buffet you can stuff your face in and be like, well, at least we have this level of multiculturalism.
It's true. We're all family for some room temperature sushi and fried corn nuggets. Mm.
And, you know, one thing I love Texas Queens say is like when they get tipped like a $20 bill. And this is Jamie Perry from Austin, Texas. I don't know if you know her.
I love Jamie. Absolutely love Jamie Perry.
She's been in drag since I was a teenager. And I had heard rumors. She disappeared for a long time, and I heard rumors that she had died.
Aw.
And so the other day, like last time we were in Austin, Texas, we went out to the clubs, and there she was performing. And I was like, and she came up to me. She remembered me and stuff. And I said to her, and I didn't mean to sound rude, and I just said to her, I thought you were dead, girl. And she just gave me this look like, fuck you.
Oh, I know exactly what the Jamie Perry look looks like.
But I was just like, this drag queen, I'm not kidding you guys. You guys think RuPaul and Lady Bunny are old? This drag queen predates them like by a decade. And she's been doing drag, and she don't look like she has aged a day. I don't know if it's silicone. I don't know if it's estrogen. I don't know if it's makeup. But she looks probably like she's in her 30s. And she's probably 65.
Oh, my God. Well, don't say I'm sure Jamie's not 65.
I'm not kidding you. I'm doing the receipts. I'm like, there's no way. She was doing drag at Charlie's in Austin, Texas in 1986. Do the math.
Now, well, wait a minute. That's not necessarily true, because you know a lot of those younger girls back in the day started at like 15. They were sneaking into the bars.
That's true. In Texas, did you do that?
Oh, my God. I didn't start drinking until I was 24. I was so square. No, like I think I went to one 18 and up club when I was still in high school. Or I guess it was, I mean, I was of very much of the legal age. It was 80s night, and I went and I sat in the side and I had a Sprite and then I had a cranberry juice. And I was like, that was $8. I want to go home. I'm so lame. Like, I'm the last.
Let's talk about boobs for a second, because Fausto keeps dreaming. He's like, oh, my God, I want to get these boobs, but they're $650. So I'm like, you are not spending $650 on a set of boobs that you'll wear once a year. I'd rather, like, we'll take that money and we're going to fly to UK or go to Europe or something like that.
You can't get an airplane ticket for $650 to UK for one person, maybe not for two.
Well, for one person.
So you can go to dragqueenboobs.com and get them for, I think it's $275, or boobsforqueen.com and get them for $650.
Damn, that's a lot of money for tits.
I don't, but you know what? Those Boob for Queen tits look like real nice titties.
They are quite supple in person as well. I have seen some of those.
Yeah.
And but the thing about it, like a lot of people don't realize is with they call them cheaters, right? Is that the bad ones weigh a lot. And so it gives you back problems because they're solid silicone. And at least the drag queen boobs and the boobs for queens are hollowed out and they're filled with polyfill. So they're like just basically like you're wearing pillows for your pillows. And I just want to know from an experienced queen like you, does it matter that you spend more money on the expensive tits or do people not care?
I actually use really cheap tits because I'm a pear-shaped woman. I have very wide hips, but I don't have a large chest. I go off of my actual like family anatomy. I think that's only proper. So I buy like $25 like little silicone bra inserts and then I just mush my chest together and pretend it's cleavage.
Oh, so you do what Elvira, the Mistress of the Dark, does. She duct tapes her flesh together and then she stuffs it to make it look like she's got a giant set of tits.
Yeah, I'm just sort of like one step shy of the actual duct tape because I have really sensitive skin. So unfortunately, I tried that once and it was a disaster. But I just wear clothes that are too tight for me because that's healthy and it just sort of mushes everything up. but I've worked with a lot of girls. When London still lived here in Houston, I worked with her a lot and she had those and she wore them all the time. So I got very familiar with, you know, a rack. And they certainly are very, if you dress them, you know, appropriately, they're certainly quite convincing and they definitely give off a vibe. I love them, but I wish they came in like a small C cup. Like, cause the second I put on like giant D's, I'm like, okay, well, while Dolly Parton is a fabulous look, I don't necessarily need to be that every day.
So even the small one is too big for you.
I think the smallest one I've ever gotten to try on is still like a full D.
Yeah, and they're saying that I guess the problem that I have with all these drag queen boobs is that they sound like eBay scams in the sense that like there's all this giant letters on their websites going, if you buy this, you cannot return it.
Okay.
Well, they probably had so many girls that buy it and then just wear it for a show and then be like, I'm sending it back.
Yeah.
And I would buy a refurbished boobs.
Well, maybe we can put a call out there. Any listeners, any drag queens out there that don't have boobs that you know, they're not using anymore or they're too big, is, you know, send it away. Send it over to us. Mail it feastofun.com and be like, hey, I got some titties for you. What can I send them? Now, I got another question for you. You're talking about like doing your legs and you say you spend $15 for nude fishnets. You say it's not a requirement, but they keep you from having the dreaded wood leg. What is a wood leg? And why wouldn't I want it?
Well, there's a difference between wood leg and then the third wood leg.
Okay.
Yes, wood leg is that lovely, like, Pinocchio flat brown when you have on just enough layers of pantyhose that you've lost any semblance of skin. So, like, you barely have a kneecap. You don't have any texture. And you just get about 3 feet back and you look like the legs on a Barbie. Like not the shiny legs, like the dollar store Barbies. Mm-hmm. So to prevent the dollar store Barbie wood leg, which would actually, I guess, be plastic leg. I didn't name that very well at the time.
I like wood leg just, better.
Yeah.
I had a suspicion you might.
Or maybe no, wooden leg. Wood
leg. It's like pirate drag queen. So
what I was like, call it the peg leg. I like that.
And so what is the new...
She lost both of her legs in the hurricane.
Okay. It was like from Freak Show. Yeah. What does the nude fishnets do then to get rid of the wood leg?
I'm currently stuck trying to think of a drag queen who's missing a leg and her name is Peg Leg. Like that would be amazing.
I think there is definitely a drag queen in San Francisco. I believe she works with Peaches Christ on some of her stuff. And her name is Peggy Legs, but it's L'EGGS. Because remember Legs, those pantyhose that came in an egg? I don't know if they still come in an egg. They probably do.
Oh my God. They come in that weird carton box. Mm. Also, can we talk about how everything is control top now? Where is my sheer to waist?
So what does the nude fishnets do to stop you from looking like you have plastic legs?
You don't forget that there's fishnets. But it just adds a little bit of visual texture. So it just sort of like, as an audience member, you just sort of go, okay, this is a three-dimensional object. I'm not really sure how to explain this. It's just sort of a visual thing. Like when you look at somebody's like hairline, and you're just like, sometimes a lace front is a good lace front, sometimes it's not quite a good lace front. Mm-hmm. It's just, you just, you can just tell the difference. And I feel like when you look at a leg that just is like six layers of opaque dance tights, you just look at,
it loses all contour. It loses kind of, like, it becomes very flat looking, is what you said.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And you just need a little bit of visual texture to sort of help suspend that disbelief a little bit.
You know, speaking of lace fronts, you say you get lace fronts for like $25. That's a pretty good price for a lace front wig, is it not?
It's an excellent price. And I can't find them every day, but a couple of times a year, I can go out to that store up here. I have a couple of stores here in Houston, actually, that do that. But ordinarily, I can definitely find pretty much any wig that I want. Now, let's keep in mind, I'm a fastidious bargain hunter. I can find generally any wig that I need for under $40. And on the occasion that I can't, my best friend owns Wigs and Grace, so I can call her and give her the money so I can support her business.
That's one way to get it.
Yes. I mean, I do pay her for them, but it's like, hey, I
there's a famous drag queen from St. Louis named Butterscotch, and she's come to Chicago a couple of times, and she has one arm. We've seen her perform, and you know, I think sometimes she actually has a prosthetic arm, and she rips it off her.
Oh, wow.
And then people are just like, oh, my God. Like Willem Belli is a big fan of hers, and he's done, like, videos about her. And she gets brought here to Chicago. Tranica books her in her club, and she's quite extraordinary.
I do believe we met her.
Suck on Butters is her Twitter handle if you want to know more about her.
My friend's grandpa was missing a hand, and he said, like, all the ladies in the town loved him. Because it just fit right up in there.
But it's like sometimes when you see a drag, you know, because drag and you know, especially like gay bar culture can be very sassy, very irreverent. And when you see somebody with a disability like that, it kind of really shocks you in some ways, because you're like, you're ready to sort of like be shady or throw some, you know, say something really irreverent, and at the same time you don't want to be rude to this person.
Yeah, I think that's genius, and I hope it's not insensitive, but I kind of, when you said that, I was like, please tell me she's done the Scarecrow from the Wizard of Oz. They took my arm off and threw it over there. Like, that would be so...
If she hasn't, she's going to.
You're welcome, Butters. But yes, no, I kind of find that, I think there's just too much acidity in the gay community. And I think that's nice, and I won't call it humbling, but I mean, a lot of people can be so quick to judge. And I kind of like, it's kind of sad that it's like, oh, she has an actual disability, we can't be shady. I'm like, well, you could also just be polite because it's the right thing to do. Jesus Christ. Like, you don't have to like pity somebody to treat them like a human being.
Well, that's what's so great about gay bars in the South, especially, is that they're, especially in smaller towns, it's like, it's really a community event. And you have people of all different accessibilities being able to perform. And one time, and I think it was in Houston, I saw a drag queen who was living with palsy, cerebral palsy, and she was in a wheelchair. And she was dressed up as Little Orphan Annie trying to lip sync to Tomorrow.
Oh my God.
And I'm so she like had a standing ovation, and everybody was like pouring money into her wheelchair because she couldn't even grab the dollars.
Oh, that's amazing. I saw a drag queen that couldn't hear. And I didn't know at first that she couldn't hear, because she was out there performing. She was doing a really great job. And then I look over and I see this other drag queen, and she's signing the words to her so that she knew when to speak and stuff like that. And her lip sync was flawless. So it's like, I don't know if she was feeling the vibrations through the floor too, and she kind of just needed a visual clue, but I was just like, and it's one of those moments when you're just like, that's how special drag is, that people can work in that kind of community like that.
Yeah, we actually have a drag queen here in Houston named Alexis, who is, I believe, the current Miss All American Goddess at large. Unless she's the normal one, then she's Miss All American Goddess. I didn't mean to call her fat. But she is actually blind. She just got a degenerative disease. She got sick and lost her sight quite rapidly, is the story I've heard. And over the course of like a month or something, just like went from pretty good vision to just woke up one day blind, and still does drag and still out there going. And she's competed for pageants and stuff. She gets walked for her evening gowns that she doesn't like walk off the side. And then when she has her talent, I saw her one year. I think it was the year she was second place at one of the state level pageants. Mm-hmm. She had a talent with dancers and she started dancing and like, she, you know, it's like you can keep yourself centered to the front, but it's kind of hard to like always remember. And so she had a thing in her talent where she's like, and it was like, and she's like, now I know that by this time the judges are over here and I'm looking this way. And I just want you to know that I'm still going to perform for whoever's over here, unless it's the wall. And then the wall's going to get a good show. And I was like,
I guess somebody does her makeup for her, right? Or dresses her.
Yes. She has different friends who will go through and do her makeup. She's lovely. I don't get to see her as much, but she's out and about in Houston. Of course, right now she's touring. She's a national title holder, which is lovely for her. Mm. And then I go to the piano bar with the same six people, and I'm like, well, you guys still get to look at me, so you're welcome. Mm.
Now, back to your blog entry, though. You say you're not even going to try to put a dollar amount on the jewelry you wear.
I have a problem. And after buffets, it's cheap costume jewelry. So actually it's all jewelry. I have expensive costume jewelry as well. A very good friend of mine is Nova Star, who runs Fierce Drag Jewels. And between her and a guy here in Houston, I think he lives in Pearland actually. His name is Chad. He has a company called Wicked Drag Jewels. Between the two of them, I'm getting like giant shoulder dusters, like with some frequency, because I mean, who needs disposable income? I could save up and buy a car or, you know, have health insurance, but no, I'd rather have jewelry.
You want something shiny. You spend about $1,000 a year just in jewelry alone.
Well, I'm very lucky right now. I actually was talking about this at my show last night. So I'm Miss Texas America right now.
Congratulations. And
thank you.
You just won that in July.
Did accidental plug. But sorry, that wasn't
No. I was going to ask you about that because you're actually going to compete coming up in October for, is it Miss Gay America?
Miss Gay America.
In New Orleans.
Not to be confused with Miss Gay US of A and Miss US of A Gay and Miss Beauty, Miss Continental, Miss Continental Plus. Mm-hmm.
But if you win that, you can compete in Continental, right? Or no? I don't know how that works.
So the way that the America system works is it's actually the longest running drag pageantry system. It's been around since 1972, I believe. It's just for, it's kind of like RuPaul's Drag Race. It's just for male, well, not anymore because RuPaul's had Peppermint, of course, so gay for trans. But the America system is for, we say boy queens, like actual biological men who live as boys who do drag. So it's about like the art of the transformation. It's about the change. It's about the, you know, the makeup and stuff, and not in a derogatory way to anyone trans. And actually one of my biggest drag inspirations and icons is Aurora Sexton, who I think is stunning and so talented. But it's for every system kind of goes for something different. And the American system is the oldest. And then that's its own system. So it has like Miss, like I was Miss Houston America, and now I'm Miss Texas America. And then there's Miss America. And then you have like Continental, which is just a different system. So you can be like Miss Houston Continental, Miss Texas Continental, and then Miss Continental. Mm-hmm. And there are different systems like EOY, Entertainer of the Year, Continental, America, Miss Black America, All American Goddess, FFI, US of A, United States, National Showgirl. So there are all these different, just different systems, which is sort of just like, I don't know what to call it. I won't call it like different clubs, but it's sort of like you just try something out, try a new thing. Mm-hmm. Every system kind of goes for different things and has different categories.
And like people jump from like one system to another. Like if they don't do well in this, they're like, oh, let me try out for this. Or some people hold multiple titles from different systems.
Yes. Brooklyn Heights is a former Miss Continental. She's stunning. She can do like, she's like a classically trained ballet dancer. And she won Miss Continental, I believe, the year after Nasha Lopez. I think so. And she's competing for Miss America this year. So you sort of, for me, it's like I've done America this is my fourth year competing for Miss Texas. And it was sort of like, you know, you set a goal. And for me, it's like I work every year until I achieve that goal. And then if I decide to move on to something else, it'll be after I've finished America. So I think a lot of girls do that. Like they have a dream and they work on it and then they take a little time and then they, you know, find a new dream. So
Violet, how common is it for a drag queen to give up her crown in the way that Alyssa Edwards and Coco Montrese had that feud? Does that happen often?
As far as I know, no. Because
I know that Nyssa Lopez wanted to give up her crown.
Well, this is the story we heard. Now, yeah. I asked her about it, and she said everything between her and Jim Flint is cool. So this is the story that we heard. Do you want to hear it?
Of course.
So Nyssa won, and I guess the people that told us this, you know, and I can't say if any of this is true, but she did not deny anything when I asked her about it. She said that... they said that Jim called her up because she was not performing her duties. Because, you know, when you win a title and there's certain things you have to do. You're supposed to show up or you might lose the crown. So I guess he called her into the office here in Chicago and she brought the crown with her and put it on his desk and was like, do you want this crown back? And he's just like, Nyssa, please have a seat. I want to talk to you.
Several seats.
I'd like to talk to you about the only other person that has ever given up the Continental Crown and tell you what her life is like today. Basically, she's doing crack and selling herself for sex. It's like, oh, is that the life you want for yourself? And she's just like, no. He's like, then pick up the crown and do your damn job. And she's just like,
oh my God.
Then she's like, I got to get on Drag Race. Did you see the Jasmine Masters competed in Continental this year?
No shame in it. A lot of girls have gone on. Tempest Dujour competed in America right after her season.
Oh, that's amazing. Because, you know, Ginger Minch tried out for Miss Continental Plus, I think, several times. And actually, I think, came in second. And I said, well, now that you got on Drag Race, are you going to try again for Continental Plus? And she looked at me like, why would I take a step down? Okay. And I was just like, well, just to prove that you still value what they, you know, have to offer.
Oh, yeah. A lot of girls do it. They're like, I still got it. Alexis Mateo was last year's All-American Goddess. And someone else was just one.
Did you think it interesting that Jasmine Masters wore the same dress to Continental that she got eliminated in Drag Race? People are like, why not? There's no rule. You can't wear the same dress twice. But I mean, it's like, would you really want to go into a big pageant like that and not wow them with something new? Did it surprise you at all?
I mean, a little, but like at the same time, I'm somebody who spent $10,000 on jewelry in 7 years. So mm-hmm. I like a lot of new things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you have a dress that's pretty, then go for it. This year I had a new dress for Miss Texas, but the last 2 years I've had the same gorgeous black and white dress. It's just this black dress, big white stripe. The stripe is rhinestone. It's beautiful. One year that I was Miss Houston, my promoter was Laura Taylor, who's a former Miss America. She's stunning. Mm. She was my promoter. She found that dress. We got it. We put some money into it. And yeah, I think it's great. I would wear it every day, quite honestly. So if I ever go to compete in a different system or if I'm ever on Drag Race, season 11, then you sure the hell will see that dress again. So I've no shame in the game. If you feel pretty, that's what the category is for. You want to look out, you want to walk out feeling and looking as lovely and expensive as you can. And if that makes Jasmine feel like that, then I say wear it every day. Mm. Wear it to bed, get it in every color.
Do you have a trick or a tip on how to get like a fabulous like evening gown like that to wear that's not going to cost you an arm and a leg? Because I'm sure some of these girls, they literally spend thousands of dollars on those dresses.
Yeah, you kind of have to. My advice is just shop. Like, you would be so surprised what you can find on sale. I think that my black and white, the black and white gown I got from Lauren, I think she literally saw it on sale at Dillard's. She just sent me a picture of it on the rack, and she's like, hey, do you like this? And I was like, I sure do. And it was a size 14, which is my hips, but not the rest of me. So we had to go have it taken in and put, you know, a couple $100 of stones on it. It's beautiful. I say a couple hundred because I'm rounding down because I'm trying to be humble about it.
Do you stone those yourself?
Sometimes. we stone the dress. Dress was stoned, but I do stone a lot of things myself because I'm not yet on Drag Race and I don't have money to pay people to do stuff for me. So I sit at home and do that.
Tiny heat wand and just like each one at a time? Or do you have a trick for getting more on?
Oh my God, so many tricks. I see people doing them with like tweezers and I'm like, honey, you're wasting your time. There's all sorts of things with like different ways to dispense glue and different tools that you can use to pick things up. there's a lot of tips and tricks and secrets. I actually worked in the store that did rhinestones and embellishment work when I lived in California when I first started doing drag. And I learned a lot of stuff there. I also learned about good business practices because they went under real fast for, you know, not making their own money. But, all these tools come in handy in life.
For a while there, I was getting Facebook ads for this machine made in Italy that would like put rhinestones on things. And I shared it and people were like, all the drag queens in Chicago should get together and just buy one. I think it was like $15,000 and just, all use it.
Everything can be glittered. Rhinestone.
Everything can and should be sparkly. I completely agree.
Now, I find very unnerving, to me, is that a lot of drag queens are turning to social media the same way that marketing companies do and try to create a commotion, try to fight with each other in order to get people to talk about each other. And the reason that they do this is because it works to some degree. Crayola Crayon, which is a company that creates those crayons that we all draw with, just came out with a new color called Blueful. And there's all these articles everywhere. They're like saying that it's causing a commotion because educators are worried that kids are not going to know how to spell the color blue. But if you look at the word blueful, and it's a combination of beautiful and blue, which actually works because it's not misspelling either word. It's a half and half combination of both words. So for an educator and for somebody who's trying to create it and inspire creativity in kids, it's a very good idea to do that, actually.
Yeah, everybody loves a good portmanteau. First of all, don't think that in the words of RuPaul, I'm not going to be stealing that, because consider that stolen. Violets are beautiful. Like, that's going to be a thing.
Violets are beautiful.
Violets are beautiful.
Star beautiful. Because her last name is Star Blue.
Yeah.
What kind of last name is Star Blue anyway?
Yes. Well, I mean, some people still don't get it, which I kind of love, because they'll come up to you like, oh my God, I've known you for 2 years and I just got your drag name.
Oh my God, I'm just getting it now too.
I'm giving.
Violets are blue.
As in roses are red. But yes, I saw Blueful and I was like, oh, I'm taking that, and I'm not going to get copyright suing from Crayola because, of course, it's EU for me. But I think I think people can be fussy about some stuff, and I think this is a kind of a foolish thing to be so up in arms about. Like, I get it. You're like, oh my God, my kids are too dumb to get the joke. And it's like, well, how about you have a little faith in your kids? You know?
Now, RuPaul is known for saying and urging people to look at all their experiences in their lives, to think about all their qualities and interests and incorporate them into their artistry. Mm. Right. And so he says this as an expression, play with all the crayons in the box. And I started researching the use of this term because I'm really interested in it. Because we say draw with all the crayons in the box and cook with all the spices in the rack. Mm. Sure. And it turns out that RuPaul for years has been saying that phrase and doesn't quite, and nobody can really agree on the right phrasing about this. So in the past, RuPaul said, life is about using the whole box of crayons, and also saying, playing with all the crayons in the crayon box. Don't be afraid to use all the crayons in the crayon box. And girlfriend, she already had hers as uses all the crayon boxes colors.
She already done used all the crayon boxes.
And part of me, I'm just curious to know, what's the right way to say that? Is it draw with the crayons? Paint with all the colors, use all the colors, fart with all the colors in the wind.
Melt the crayons in a pot and just throw it against the wall and see what happens. How about that?
Yeah. I say eat with all the utensils at the buffet. Like, I think it's the same kind of thing.
You're awfully skinny for a girl who likes the buffet.
Oh, honey, girdles are also in that budget. Don't worry about that. That's the one part that didn't get put on the line, is the extensive shapewear. Because I fully will embrace when I'm at work and I'm like, so I'm not the shape that I look to be. I'm held together with like fishing line and prayers.
But so I'm asking the audience and I'm asking you, like, what is the catchiest, most playful way to say, don't be afraid to use all the crayons in the box?
I'm not really sure. I actually said that to people too. I'm like, in the art of drag, like the beauty is that you can be anything you want to be. So why would you be the same thing every time?
Sure.
So I think there's nothing wrong with also having different ways to say the phrase. Like, you know, language can be different for everybody. I think that for me personally, I would probably say, don't be afraid to use every color in the box. That just sounds like me. But I also have 73 shades of glitter on my makeup table. So.
And that way you take the brand out too, you know?
Are crayons a brand?
Well, I guess not. I guess Crayola.
But it also colors in the box implies, you know, watercolors or your makeup palette. Yeah.
Yeah, use your preferred medium.
My favorite medium is sex.
I think my preferred medium would be like
oral, anal, cunnilingus.
Male, female.
Violets are blue, or violets are beautiful. Blutiful.
I'm going to have merch. You get ready.
Are you changing your name right now as we're taping the show?
Beautiful. I've already won Miss Texas. I have to have it for the whole year. I'm not going to change it. Oh, the second I won, though, the next day, they changed the Miss Gay Texas America website colors to purple. I was not upset.
Aw,
that's so sweet. But violet and purple are not the same color.
Violet is a shade of purple, yes. I also prefer lavender and periwinkle, so all the colors are fine. Use all the shades of purple in the box.
Wait a second. So purple is the umbrella term for lavender and violet?
Violet is purple. And violet eggplant, is the shade of purple.
Eggplant.
Aubergine.
And
or purple
oh my
violet.
God. Grape. I think there's an African-American queen named Oprah Jean. That would be amazing.
Oprah Jean?
Oh my gosh. But so I was saying something about the fundraiser thing. I don't remember. But as Miss Texas, we get to do a bunch of stuff this year that's cool and just like raise money and philanthropic efforts. But I'm going to start using that. I'm going to be like, go out and like use all the purples in the box, I think, at all this year. I think that'll be really fun.
Violet, where can people catch you performing in Houston if they come down there to see you?
Oh my gosh, anywhere that you can't get away from me. I am at JR's here in Houston at 11 p.m. every Tuesday. I am at a piano bar called Michael's Outpost at 7:30 on Fridays and Saturdays. I am at South Beach here in Houston Fridays at 9:30. And on Sundays, I am the hostess of Hamburger Mary's Show Tune Sundays at noon and 3 p.m.
Oh, wow. You are a working drag queen.
You sound like a combination of Stefan from Saturday Night Live and the movie phone lady.
I'm okay with that. Both of them are probably making more money than me, so, you know.
You're like, at 3 and 5 p.m., I'm going to be lip-syncing to Dolly Parton. At 10 o'clock, I'm going to be lip-syncing to Judy Garland.
At 11:45, I'll be crying into my hamburger.
And be like, this soda is watery. And the ice melted. Now the ice is making it too cold.
I was literally like, I was trying to be as polite as possible. And I'm like, you are so damn bothered, aren't you? I'm so sorry.
Well, maybe, you know, they're just used to complaining and they feel like it's a good way to get your attention. And they all just, all they want to do is just get a little closer to you.
Sometimes people are isolated and they don't really have much human contact until they go out. And then they're just like, oh my God, I'm out in public.
Yeah.
Whose life can I make miserable?
I think that's that advice of like, you can cause you were saying about like online that queens are using social media to bitch about other queens and, you know, cause a commotion and get attention. And I'm like, well, I would much prefer to be discussed because of what I'm doing, not because of how much I'm saying. So like, you know, if you want attention, just do something attention worthy.
Well, it might be working because some of the more notorious queens on the scene have been rumored to be on season 10 or season X of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Season
doesn't have any bezels.
You mean what?
Bezels. It's a tech joke, but
okay.
Like my dad's gonna be so embarrassed. He has his own computer company, and I'm like, who?
They're like, what? I don't get the people who have iPhones get that joke. Hey, Violet Sarblue, it's a pleasure talking to you because you're sweet, so nice, and oh, so fun.
Also, so if you ever want to do one of those cooking shows and I'm still a nobody, you feel free to let me know.
If you're in Chicago, come on up, honey. But first, we got a fun season three. Fry harder. We're going to put the queens in the kitchen and force them to fight each other with knives. Mm. Not really. No, it's going to be a competition.
I'm fine with that. I will use all the utensils. But yes, if you think I'm not too obnoxious, feel free to give them money so that I can come up to Chicago and cook with them too.
Girl, you got to come up here and fry up a storm. What's your favorite fried food? Are you more of the fried cheese, fried mushrooms, eggplant? Do you like chicken fingers, steak fingers, finger fingers?
I none of that has made me say no yet. Mm. Like, that feels like that's the LGBT.
Well, you just admitted to being a cannibal.
What's Houston known for? Like, what's your food there?
Food-wise?
Yeah, because like here in Chicago, it'd be like Chicago hot dog, Chicago pizza.
Sure. I think Houston and the majority of southern Texas is definitely Tex-Mex, which is just like delicious Mexican food, but we also managed to add a lot of fat to it.
Your chimichangas, your chalupas, your gorditas. It all sounds like very sexual if you're bilingual, you know, have a taste of my gordita.
Well, you know, the Latin is a very passionate people.
Oh, yeah, honey. Still, as fabulous as all the Mexican food restaurants are in Texas, I am still a diehard believer in Taco Cabana.
There is nothing wrong with that. We still have ours down here as well.
Girls, like a Mexican fiesta cantina. You could get a margarita at right before they close for like a couple of bucks. Oh my God. It's such a good time. They make fresh tortillas. Go to Taco Cabana.
Okay. Get a plug. Get some advertisement. That'll help.
You know, I worry that they'll go out of business and then I can't talk about how much I like them.
Just talk about the flauta plate and then say like, hey, here's your free press.
You can blow on my flauta. You can have a taste of my gordita. Sounds very sexual. You know what I'm saying? You can't talk about Mexican food without thinking about sex.
I mean, I think that's probably true. I think you could probably make any food into sex if you try hard enough.
Yeah, but pizza's not a sexy food. Like, you know, like spaghetti and meatballs, you don't get like horny.
Excuse me. What? After that pizza came out with the stuffed crust and they're just pulling it apart for the gooey cheese, yes, you can make pizza about sex. Now with stuffed crust.
Stuff me. Ooh. Violets are blue. I'm going to go grab me a slice of you, honey.
I think it's probably blueberry flavored in desperation.
I think that's my I love blueberry pierogies. Those are good.
Oh.
Violet, take care and be safe down there in Houston. I'm glad you guys are recovering from that terrible hurricane.
Thank you. Houston is strong. We rebuild. We are passionate. We're excited. And we're helping each other. That's what we do. I literally just had a fundraiser yesterday. We raised $500. So if anybody's listening and wants to donate, don't use the Red Cross because they don't give us all the money, but find a charity that you support, find people that you support, send things to mail. We have the Montrose Counseling Center, which is a gay organization here for LGBT and LGBT youth. There's the Houston Food Bank. There's the HSPCA. I donated mine to the United Way of Greater Houston. Find a charity, do your research and send some money because people need it. And I mean, Thanksgiving is coming up. Christmas is coming up. That new iPhone came out with the facial recognition and you don't want to turn it on and it say, go, oh, I see a selfish bitch. No, you want to have something. So give a chance to somebody who's deserving than you and then don't feel bad about $1,000 phone.
Make sure you vet your donations though, in the sense that a lot of people are going based on links on social media. Go to the charity's website. Cause some people are faking it on those third party, you know, GoFundMe imitations and nobody vets those things. And some person somewhere is just keeping the money. They're not even, it's not even going to the people in that area.
Oh, even the Red Cross. It was in the news here yesterday. A woman applied for some Red Cross because she lost her home and the Red Cross just denied her. And she asked why and they won't respond. So yes, like please do your homework. Definitely make sure that the people that you want to help are getting the help that you're giving.
Mm. Yes. Thank you so much, Violet.
Thanks, Violet.
Can I ask a favor real quick?
Sure, what's that?
What?
Do you guys know John Pauly? Because I think he's super cute.
Oh, he's a writer for...
He's the one who comes up with all of RuPaul's jokes and feeds them to her ear during RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to know that.
Are we not supposed to?
I
thought that's public information.
Huh? Is it?
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a RuPaul's comedy writer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about him?
I think he's super cute. I love his. I watch his Extra Lap recaps, and I'm like, oh, John Pauly, please go on tour. Come to Houston,
girl. Just write. Just you know, write you'd be surprised at what a young gay man with stars in his eyes can get if you just write the right fan mail letter to your hero.
Yeah, get your bar to bring him. I'm sure he'd come.
Okay, well, I'll find a young gay man with stars in his eyes to write him a letter, and then I'll just laugh.
Did you want to send John Pauly a message? What do you want to sell? He might be listening. Just tell him what it is you want to say.
Well, hi, John Pauly. I think you're awful cute, and, you know, I've got nothing going on, and you seem to have a lot going on, so, you know, I'm very available. Hit me up. Oh, you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at Violet with a Z. Send me a message.
Girl, they cut out right there. Have a great day. No. tell us one more time.
Oh, so yes, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. My Instagram is at Violet with a V, like Liza with a Z, Violet with a V, one word. And on Facebook, I am facebook.com/rosesareRed.
This is great talking to you, sweetie.
Bye, Violet. I'm so that you guys wanted to talk to me. I'm such a big fan. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. It's so sweet of you to say
that.
Yeah,
but you're not going on John Pauly's show and saying how much you think hot will you
John
think
Pauly
I am.
John Pauly won't answer her phone calls.
Hey, John Pauly, I'll totally hook y'all up too because everybody needs a little bit extra press.
Girl, I'll come do a podcast with you in Houston, Texas. Let's do it, man.
I would love that. I'm so down. Well, actually, my dad's side of the family lives in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So if I'm ever up that way again soon, I will definitely let you know.
Oh, please,
girl,
do.
Give me a holler when you come calling. Bye. Take care, sweetie. We gotta end this.
Yeah.
This podcast is over.
Violet Star Blue lives in Houston, Texas. You can follow her on Facebook, on Instagram.
Violet with a V, because Violet with a Z goes.
And it's like S apostrophe R blue.
Yes.
Right? I didn't get that until then. Until she said it.
Violet Star Blue.
And now she's gotta have a drag sister named Rose Sorette.
Rose Sorette.
Fuck you. No, fuck you.
Rose Tourette's. No.
I like that. We found another drag queen that likes to eat at Chinese food buffets like I do. Yeah. Girl, I could eat at them all day long. And then I look at my figure and I go, shouldn't have been eating those extra servings of poo-poo at platter. Though,
it's like one of those things you want to do every now and then. Because it's like when you're at a buffet, you're always like, I got to get my money's worth. And so you tend to overeat.
But how are you going to get a, you know, the orange chicken fix, your General So? You may have been a bloodthirsty conqueror, but your chicken dish is delectable.
I don't know. We should, let's go out. We haven't been to the Polish buffet here in town in a long time. We should go back and do
the
that.
The apple?
Red apple. I think red apple. Yeah.
Here in Chicago on Milwaukee Avenue. Yeah.
And somebody told us there was another Polish buffet, they said, which is better. So if you guys know what that is, let me know. But I definitely want to check it out. And I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes it happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to wonderful guests like Violet Sarblou if it weren't for you.
That's right, folks. Cooking with Drag Queens is... Will there be another Cooking with Drag Queens?
We'll Maybe. See. You know, it's 30% we'll funded, so 30% of the people out there think it should happen. So, you know, the best time to make a pledge is to make the pledge today.
And Kickstarter looks at, you know, if you can just... You feel like, listen, I only got is $1. $3, $5. That's not going to make that much of a difference. It makes a huge difference. There's only 100 people right now who have pledged. A lot more people are listening to this podcast. A lot of you guys. And, you know, I understand that there's a lot of important things to spend your money on. And there's a lot of, you know, vital issues of our day that are facing us right now. So, a small donation to Cooking with Drag Queens allows it to be featured on Kickstarter's website, and other people can chime in and donate and get it funded for another season. Otherwise, you know, it's been great doing Cooking with Drag Queens, but it's not something we can afford to do. YouTube has taken away all advertising money from LGBT content. If you want to see this kind of content, it's important to you, it's important to your community. Make this decision to go to Cooking with Drag Queens and pledge $1, $3, $5, $10. Any amount makes it possible for us to continue.
Pledge what you can, and you can do that at cookingwithdragqueens.com.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Gillian.
Bye.
Bye-bye.